Well, good evening and welcome to Deep in Scripture. This is Marcus Grody, your host for this program. Well, I'm glad you've joined me tonight. It's been a couple of weeks where because of weather and other things that I wasn't able to join you live, but it's great to be here. I love being involved with the Deep in Scripture program, and I appreciate your emails and phone calls that we would get that encourage us that this program is an encouragement to you. Purpose for this program is to recognize that the importance of being deep in the Word of God, but we have to make sure that we understand what it means to be deep in Scripture. And a part of what I do in this program is, on the one hand, demonstrate many ways that this idea of the Scripture alone, apart from sacred tradition and the authority of the Church, this one-legged stool idea of deep in Scripture can lead to far too many conflicting ideas of really what God is trying to teach us. And so to be deep in Scripture is not equivalent to Scripture alone, but is recognizing that Christ established an authority to make sure that when we open this wonderful book, that we can be well assured that we are hearing what's true. We may be blind to the ways that we read into Scripture our own prejudices, our own ideas of what's right or wrong. We got to be careful. You can just about find any verse to say anything you want to say. How can you make sure that you're teaching what's true? And that's part of the purpose of this program. This program is sponsored by the Coming Home Network International. And if you go to our website, deepinscripture.com, you'll find this week's program featured. Our guest for tonight is Nate Roberts. You'll see on the website short biography. Nate works for the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He has a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, but he's also been doing some master's degree work in theology at Franciscan University, and he works on the RCIA team there at Franciscan. If you go to the website, you'll see the link for the St. Paul Center's website, salvationhistory.com. That's an easy one to remember. There's lots of stuff there to find out about. Also, the work that Nate does. And he's joining us tonight. And when I ask him what was his favorite verse from St. Paul that he'd like to discuss, he really gave me a whole fistful of verses. But the contextual verse that we're going to first examine when Nate joins us in a few moments comes from the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 25, we read about the farewell that St. Paul delivered to his dear friends in Ephesus after he had been there for a long period of time. Many of these friends at Ephesus were men and women that he had brought into the faith, some of the men he had appointed as leaders to carry on in his stead when he moved on. And in this passage in Acts chapter 20, we see his farewell passage. And in that passage, we're going to hear a bit about the anticipated suffering that he will encounter as he continues to follow Jesus. And then in the next chapter, chapter 21, verses 10 through 13, again, Paul is continuing on his missionary journeys. This time he's on his way back towards Jerusalem, at Caesarea. And again, in these passages, we hear about his anticipated suffering that he will experience because he is committed to following Jesus. And in many ways, that is our theme for our program tonight. We will be talking about suffering. There are a lot of people today that are experiencing suffering that they did not anticipate. Some of it's physical, and particularly today, for many, it's economic. And many of those economic fears are justified. Some of them are mere clouds, but yet we have to look at the future and discern what it is God's calling us to do. And if we are to follow God faithfully, sometimes that requires us to make difficult decisions that carry us into pathways that can be very frightening for ourselves, for our family, and for our future. And the question is, will we follow Jesus, or will we listen to all those other voices that try to deter us from that straight path and maybe into ways that seem easier, that avoid suffering, that promise maybe immediate enjoyment, reward, but yet take us away from that ultimate reward, which we will experience with Christ both in this journey that we have in this life as well as in the life to come. So in a moment, we'll look at those passages. Just a few things, but remind you that if you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 800-664-5110. Or you can always call us at the Coming Home Network number, 740-450-1175. Or you can send me an email, marcus@deepinscripture.com. Sometimes it's hard to get all the emails into the program that we receive, and I'll generally try and answer them at least after the program, if not during. But again, the website is deepinscripture.com if you'd like to follow along with the scripture that I'm going to read to you now, and then after the break, Nate Roberts will join us. Let me read you this passage. This is a long passage, but it's the background for tonight's discussion. I begin reading from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 17 to 25. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you all the time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which befell me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance to God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, bound in the Spirit, not knowing what shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all you among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom will see my face no more." And then later, in chapter 21, after Paul has journeyed and arrived at Caesarea, we find these passages beginning with verse 10. "While we were staying for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own feet and hands and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this girdle and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' When we heard this, we and the people there begged him not to go to Jerusalem." We begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. "Then Paul answered, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" You're listening to Deep in Scripture. This is Marcus Groda, your host, and you're hearing us on EWTN, your Global Catholic Radio Network.
Next time on EWTN Live. For centuries, Catholics have undergone much persecution in England, but through the Blessed Mother's intercession, there is hope for reparation. Francis Scar and Father Stephen Willis join Father Mitch to discuss efforts to heal the wounds of the past. That's on the next EWTN Live.
EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa is seen and heard around the world. For dates and times in your area, log on to EWTN.com.
Follow the compelling journey of one man who became a Church of Christ minister and found himself entering the Catholic Church. Bruce Sullivan shares his conversion story in his new book titled Christ in His Fullness. In this book, he communicates a passionate love for Christ and the inexhaustible treasures of grace found in the Catholic Church. Perhaps you too will discover the same riches in the fullness of Christ. To order a copy of this book for yourself or a friend, please visit our website, www.chnetwork.org, or call us at 1-800-664-5110.
Welcome back to Deep in Scripture. This is Marcus Groda, your host for this program. Just a second ago, you heard our phone number, and just to give it to you again, in case you'd like to give us a call, 800-664-5110. You can also call us at 740-450-1175, or you can send an email to marcus@deepinscripture.com. If you go to the website, deepinscripture.com, you'll notice the very bottom, there's a reference to CH Resources. The Coming Home Network offers not only our own books, but a variety of other books, which we have specifically chosen to help you on your journey. So if you would like to find out about the books and other tapes and such that we offer, go to chresources.com and you'll find out more about our work. But I'd like to welcome to the program Nate Roberts. Are you there, Nate?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Nate. Thanks for joining us on Deep in Scripture.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's you picked a tough topic in some ways. In many ways, suffering is something that a lot of Bible preachers and ministers like to stay well away from. So I commend you for your courage in the same way that we commend Paul for his.
Well, but, I think that, suffering is something that we all share in.
Yeah.
And especially nowadays, there are so many things in our life and in our society that cause us suffering, cause us to suffer.
I remember once I was speaking at an evangelization conference, and it was in one of those huge conference halls. And at the same time, as you've probably seen yourself, Nate, because I know that the St. Paul Center gets involved with conferences, that sometimes at these big conference centers, there's three or four, five or six conferences going on at the same time. And we were doing our conference on evangelization, but in the same hall was a conference on money management and diet and other things. And I remember journeying around listening to the speakers, and we all had the same sounding gospel. I was lost and now I'm found. Or I was poor and now I'm rich, or I was fat and now I'm skinny. But the one thing I noticed, the difference between ours and theirs, was in many ways, I'm not against getting out of debt or against being healthy, but often those other messages were all about avoiding suffering. Whereas in evangelization, we're not trying to avoid suffering. We're trying to pull people to truth. And if suffering is a part of that, then that's, we trust, what God recognizes good for us.
It seems like those other conferences were trying to cover up or escape from the suffering that they were battling.
Yeah. And Scripture teaches us that in many ways, that's what is best for us, is sometimes that very suffering that has dropped into our life. The book of Job is in the Bible for a reason. And so are many of the Psalms, and are the passages that you chose tonight. Now, Nate, I'd mentioned to the audience that there's a little bit of a bio on the website, but just in a general way, why'd you choose these passages for our discussion tonight?
Well, I noticed this passage, particularly Acts 21, 13, and 14, more than 10 years ago, when I was studying as an engineer, to be an engineer. What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And that verse just rung out to me because I looked around myself as a Christian, as an engineer. I knew a number of engineers that were also Christian, and we didn't really see, and I'm including myself in this, and we weren't being bold for Christ. We were so afraid that we would ruin our reputations, that you can't necessarily be a Christian in the professional world and things of that nature. And I just found this verse so remarkable, that Paul would be willing to sacrifice his own life for Jesus, and that here we are, sitting around as engineers and Christians. I mean, we're not just secular engineers, but Christian engineers, that we're, terrified of people finding out that we may be, Christian. And so I think for me, this passage really started to challenge me in terms of what was I willing to sacrifice for Christ. So
I remember back when I was a Protestant, there's a story used in evangelization, which I agree with completely, and it was a story of a group of people gathered at a church, and they were introducing themselves, and talking about what they do for a living. You know, and you know, I'm Fred, I'm a truck driver, or I'm Sue, and I'm a teacher. And then they got the one guy, and he says, I'm Doug, and I am a disciple for Jesus Christ, creatively disguised as an engineer. And all of a sudden, everyone in the group got brave to say that's what they were, you know. And it's a good point, but I think it's kind of what you were struggling with as an engineer, how to serve Christ. But being an engineer and being a Christian sometimes comes into conflict, especially today, being a doctor and being a politician and being a faithful follower of Christ causes sacrifice. And are we willing to make it? And the passages that, you know, I was reading this passage to the audience and thinking how we would discuss that. You know, Paul's statement is a very interesting parallel, is it not, to when Jesus told his disciples that he was to go to Jerusalem to suffer. And Peter tries to stop him.
Right. And like today's gospel, which talks about, you know, he tells his fellow disciples that he is about to go to Jerusalem, that he will be delivered to the chief priests, and that he will be condemned to death. And what do the sons of Zebedee do? They argue about who's going to be, you know, at his right hand, you know, who's going to be on your right, who's going to be on your left. And I think that's where, you know, we are. You know, or I was at least then, you know, I was this engineer Christian, and I was like kind of reading about Christ, kind of his suffering and death and his resurrection and everything like that. And I don't think I was really listening, you know. I heard it, but I was so worried about how I was going to, you know, make it in the world and all these types of things.
Well, and another reason why I'm really glad you've chosen this passage is because, as you also know, being a convert to the Catholic Church, that there are a lot of folk out there that use the Bible and use scriptures into a Bible to avoid suffering, to even say that if you really are a solid, surrendered, faithful follower of Jesus Christ, then you shouldn't have any sufferings. You should be rich.
Right.
And that is a complete contradiction. I mean, they would almost have to say that Paul here was lacking in faith.
Well, you know, we read in Matthew 16 that, Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross, you know? And so, you know, I think that prosperity gospel or what have you is just not what Christ was telling us to be, to do. We read in 1 Colossians 1:24 about how, you know, Paul rejoices in his sufferings, you know, and I think that is where we eventually find our joy, and it's odd, you know, but in the RCI class that I'm a part of, we just finished going over the Beatitudes, and I think that if you read through the saints, you'll see that many of them, they, you know, in the pursuit of happiness, it wasn't finding happiness for themselves, but emptying themselves out and finding happiness for others. And I think that is, you know, where we can really find our joy and our peace isn't necessarily in finding that which makes us happy. And a lot of the stuff that does make us, you know, that a lot of people tell us today makes us happy are very temporal, very, you know, a TV program only lasts a half hour, an hour, you know, and it's over, you know. But when we are able to help others in their suffering or to join and participate in the life of Christ, I think that is where we begin to find our joy, our happiness.
Let's it's good. We've let the audience realize that we are going to, our trajectory is towards Colossians 1:24. We're going to deal with that later. It's a difficult passage, but I think it really is Paul you know, really laying it on the line to understand that, you know, that our suffering is not a waste, it's not accidental, but that it's very intentional, even though we may not understand it. But that is, it is in the act of letting go and offering it up that we surrender ourselves fully to Christ. We're going to get there. Why don't we take a moment, Nate, and let's look back then at this, the kind of the foundational passages that you've chosen tonight.
Sure.
In Acts 20 and then Acts 21. Talk a bit about those passages, you know, and why they really grabbed you.
Well, as I... back when I first, when I was an engineer, still studying as an to be an engineer, I was starting to. It took a period of time, but that's when I was also finding the Catholic Church, the beauty and the truth of the Catholic faith. And so, as I grew into Catholicism and grew to appreciate the truth that the Catholic Church is, rereading this section, this passage, you really start to get an appreciation not only for this bold claim of Paul's in 13 and 14 about being, you know, ready to die for Jesus, but also the lengths and the humility and the sufferings that he endured for the gospel, that he did not account his life of any value or precious to himself.
Mm-hmm. The church teaches that every single person who is baptized, and therefore, as Paul describes in Ephesians, has heard and believed and been anointed by the Spirit, we all have a call to witness to our faith, everyone. It's not merely the bishop's job or the priest's job or the religious job or the deacon's job. It's every one of us. But let's face it, in general, most of us have all kinds of excuses of why it's hard to share. And the passage that you chose, Nate, even beginning back with verse 18 in Acts 20, if any of you are looking at the passage, you can look at it on the website, deepinscripture.com. But he says a bunch of things that are easy for us to just read by.
Mm.
But when we sit and think about what he's saying and remembering where Paul came from as a Pharisee of Pharisees who wouldn't probably even speak to a Gentile and who persecuted Christians, but now he reminds them. First, he says, you yourselves know how I lived among you. And what he's basically saying there is, you know, you've seen my life. You've heard me. You know that what I'm saying to you, you know whether it's true or not because you know. You've seen me. I've lived with you. And then he goes on to talk about the trials that he went through, verse 19, because of the plots of those Jews that didn't want him to be proclaiming this new gospel, verse 20. Did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. I mean, there's that just hits right at the reality of today of Catholic politicians that completely shrink from taking a stand for the faith that they say they have. How many of us shrink because we don't want to suffer?
Mm.
You know, then he says, teaching you in public and from house to house. He wasn't just doing it in the privacy of one-on-one in a little coffee house. He was doing it in public. He was going from house to house, so he wasn't shrinking at all from his calling. He wasn't just testifying to his friends, verse 21, to Jews and Greeks of repentance to God, but not just repentance to God, but of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that phrase, which we take so much for granted, was going to get him in trouble. That's the phrase that was getting him in trouble when he hits Jerusalem.
Sometimes it seems like it's so far away from where we are now. You know, to make this sacrifice for Christ takes time and patience, I think, and the willingness to serve the Lord. And you know, I think you're right with the politicians not shrinking actually,
yeah.
And you know, and not being bold for Christ. I think that a lot of people are lost today and don't really have an appreciation for what it really means to be Catholic.
Yeah, the last verse, I mean, here am I speaking to you. You work for the St. Paul Center, which is all about scripture study, so I shouldn't be saying a thing. You guys are the experts. But let me just remind you of something which is really, I think, just phenomenal, is that the last verse of the first letter to John is one of those verses that people said, what a weird way to end a book. But he ends it with, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And the reality is that when we're called to take a stand for Jesus, it means not shrinking from whatever trials come our way in defense of him. To turn away from that is to turn to idols. And that's sadly what some of our Catholic politicians are doing, rather than taking a bold stand for what is true, regardless of what comes, they're turning to idols of themselves or what their image in public or money, position, power, prestige. Those are all idols. And in this passage, Paul is saying, you've seen me. I mean, that's the testimony of his words, that he's lived with these people and he has not been willing to shrink down. I love that phrase in verse 22, Nate. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, bound in the Spirit, not knowing what shall befall me there. Talk a bit about using that as a parable. Every one of us, if we are following Christ, has a Jerusalem to which he's calling us.
I think that, first off, I think that being bound in the Spirit requires a lot of grace because, you know, I mean, Paul, he started as this persecutor of Christians, as this man bound to the law, but now he's bound in the Spirit, and being bound in the Spirit brought him to where he is now. At first he was subject to the law, and now he's free in the Spirit, but
And it's a wonderful point, but just remind the audience, that's why when you're deep in Scripture, you've got to be careful that we don't take a phrase out of the context of all of the writings of St. Paul. Mm. We look at the letters of Galatians, where he's talking about walking by the Spirit, but he's saying that that doesn't mean that gives you the freedom to do whatever you feel like. You know, every individual just decide, well, the Spirit's told me to do this, you know. We're in community. We're part of the body. And so we even see Paul getting the advice of these elders at Ephesus to make sure he's following the Spirit correctly. We're going to take a break, and we come back. Nate, I'm going to again ask you, but we'll continue with this passage and then move on into Acts 21, and then probably go into a couple other verses that you referenced that we would talk about this important issue of suffering when we follow Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Mark.
You're listening to Deep in Scripture. This is Marcus Grodi, your host, and I'm joined tonight by Nate Roberts of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, and you're hearing us on EWTN, your Global Catholic Radio Network.
Next time on Life on the Rock, the family is the foundation block of society and must be protected at every level. Tune in when Patrick Langrell joins Doug and Father Mark to talk about an Australian witness at the CFAM conference. That's on the next Life on the Rock, only on EWTN.
Life on the Rock is seen and heard around the world on EWTN. For dates and times in your area, log on to EWTN.com.
Marcus Grodi and Dr. Scott Hahn invite you to join us May 16th, 2009 in the Hilton East in Columbus, Ohio, as we look to understand St. Paul, who was so zealous for the Word of God that he became the apostle to the Gentiles. Joined by Father Mitch Pacwa, Jeff Cavins, and others, we will look into the life of this famous convert to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So join us as we seek to know the Catholic Paul.
Welcome back to Deep in Scripture. This is Marcus Grodi, your host. I'm joined tonight by Nate Roberts Nate, you know, during the break, I was looking at some of those passages, and there's just so many, such great stuff in these. It almost keeps me from moving on because I saw something there that, you know, again, when Paul admitted in verse 22 that he was going to Jerusalem, it wasn't that he was ignorant of what he was facing.
No, not at all. I think that he was fully aware that, you know, he could be imprisoned there or even to die there. I think that, you know, he notes that, you know, above, that he has been through many trials and tribulations, and he seems to have this awareness that imprisonment and maybe death even await him in Jerusalem. And so I think that, you know, I think that's really, you know, he doesn't, he's not, again, back to the shrinking of these politicians, he's not shrinking one iota. He is boldly going and living and participating in the life of Christ here. You know, Christ himself, he went, you know, he kind of, you know, Paul is kind of imitating Christ, if you will. He's,
well, very much so. In fact, that's one of his most famous sayings, where he says, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Right.
And it was an egotistical saying. He's basically saying, you know, I can't tell you people these things if I can't do them. So I will show you. And so he goes to Jerusalem.
With Christ, we see, like I mentioned before in today's reading, you know, Christ was fully aware of where he was going, his passion, you know. And I think that, you know, he knew of his, you know, his own suffering. He knew that, you know, we read in the Garden of Gethsemane that, you know, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as you will, to the Father. You know, we read in these scriptures that Christ knew that he knew the sacrifice that needed to be made for the salvation and for the overcoming death and the stain of sin, and he did it out of love. And I think we see here in Paul the same thing happening. He's truly imitating Christ in this. He has a foreknowledge of and an understanding of what he needs to do to live out his life in Christ. And I think that, you know, again, it's also out of love that, you know, Paul's love for Christ and also for these very people that are asking him not to go to Jerusalem. You know, he loves them so much, and he wants, you know, Christ to be glorified so much that he is willing to go and be, you know, martyred for Christ.
In fact, back in 20, he says, remember how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. You know, sometimes what we need to tell people, they don't want to hear. But that's what love means, is proclaiming what's true. You know, those people in positions of power and prestige, on the one hand, recognize that if they are in positions of influence, they're only there because God has allowed them that opportunity. And with that opportunity comes the responsibility of standing for what is true, of declaring what is profitable, as opposed to backing off and protecting themselves. And, you know, verse 24, just as you were describing imitating Christ, I mean, Nate, I mean, that's a wild statement Paul makes. I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. I mean, each of us, you, Nate, and I do, and we have a responsibility, that a gift that we've been given to serve God. And, I mean, talk about this. This is a bold statement. I do not account my life of any value. I mean, that's wild. In the views of our culture.
Right. I mean, we look at athletes and we look at, you know, any number of, you know, people in the media and things of that nature, and people in those role model positions of being a role model. And they account their life as having a lot of value. They are not, you know, they're doing the opposite of what Paul is doing.
Yeah.
They're seeking to save their lives instead of trying to lose them. And I think that, you know, it's not too surprising. You know, we're in a culture that is more and more each day rejecting Christ, and you know, there's in people, I there is that call in all of us of something greater.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people try and find it in things other than Christ, and I think that we can only find those things, find, you know, that fulfillment in Christ.
And lest we are accused of just pointing fingers outside the church, and when we recognize that there have been very visible leaders in the church that have fallen.
Well, not just visible, but ourselves.
Yes.
Even. I mean, we all have had, I mean, for myself at least, I know that there's so many times where I want my will instead of Christ's will.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've wrestled with over the past several years is my vocation. And for a while, I wanted to get married so badly or so much that I didn't care if it was God's will or not. You know, and I think that, you know, coming to allow Christ to work within us, to really transform us. And I think that's, you know, what our aim is to be transformed by Christ, to die to Christ in a sense. And so ever submitting that our will to Him, and yeah,
and it's a constant. I mean, that's why we need community. I mean, and because we can, if we're not careful, even if we've committed ourselves to Christ, gone through the sacraments, are faithful to receive all the graces we have, that isn't magic. Because there's that mystery between the one hand, that grace of God that really all the way from the beginning turned our mind and heart towards Him. But at the same time, it required our surrender. And so that's why even sometimes the highest in the church can fall. When we look at the history of the church.
Yes.
And so we can't point fingers at them because, just as you said, we can fall ourselves. And it's a daily by daily surrender to Christ to be able to do and imitate just what Paul says. I'm going to read a verse, throw this out at you, Nate.
Sure.
To talk about this. This comes from Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, 21, where Paul makes this unbelievable, powerful statement about our need to have this complete surrender to Christ. He says, beginning in verse 19, "For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." I mean, Nathan, I mean, here we're seeing Paul give his testimony of this surrender of his I, of his self to Christ.
I especially like the part of just, "And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me."
Yeah.
And I think that, again, it takes patience on our, you know, patience to be transformed by Christ, to reach this point of understanding that we are to be crucified with Christ, and to allow Christ to live in us. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, for some people it may, but for, I think, a number of people, you know, through our struggles, and I think that's, you know, going back to our embracing our sufferings, you know, the more we run away from our sufferings. And I'm not saying like it's easy to embrace our sufferings. It's not. You know, it's so easy. It's so much easier to just, you know, veg in front of the TV or to shun people from our lives, you know, if we're lonely, you know, or whatever the way in which we are suffering. And so I think as we do grow in faith, we must continue. And you know, I think this is appropriate for Lent. You know, this is a wonderful time for us to put ourselves to death, to take a part of who we are that is not submissive to Christ, whether it be your appetite or your addictions, or you know, maybe you just don't want to go to Mass every day, or whatever it is that you struggle with. You know, this is an opportunity to put that to death, and allow Christ to come in and transform you.
Well, it's one of the most important reasons why, and I emphasize it a lot on all of my programs with the television and radio, and that is, to me, I think one of the biggest heresies running rampant in our world is this theology of Jesus and me. That's it. Jesus and me. As long as I got Jesus, doesn't matter. Whether I go to church or anything, it's just Jesus and me. And as much, you know, it's all about Christ. Of course it's all about Jesus. But Jesus didn't intend for us to walk this journey alone. And, you know, Nate, in the opening section of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For we, as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." I mean, in Lent, we're not alone. Mm. We suffer together so that we can help each other grow closer to Christ.
In Corinthians, we also read that, you know, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" Mm-hmm. You know, I think that this, the understanding that we, through baptism and through the continual, you know, reception of the Eucharist and kind of, you know, this adoption into this, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is, you know, an eternal and very real thing. It's not this vague, abstract thing out there. You know, there are saints that date all the way back to Christ. And, you know, there's, you know, parishes and dioceses throughout this world. The body of Christ transcends both time and space. And it's an eternal thing. And so we, you know, through this body, we can, as Paul says in Colossians, you know, that we can rejoice in our sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I complete what is lacking in Christ. Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. And it's not to say that, you know, what Christ did on the cross wasn't enough, or that we can add to Christ by suffering. But by being this mystery of the church and his body, we can almost be an extension of Christ and bring redemptive suffering to people who are suffering.
And I think particularly that verse that you pointed out earlier, Nate, from the Galatians 2:20 passage, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." You know, if we meditate on that, and if we truly are surrendering ourselves to let Christ live in us without putting up constrictions on how much of our lives we're giving to him and how much we're allowing him to truly live in us, then we remember the parables about helping the poor and the weak and all those ways in which we are to love others the way we love God, the sacrifice, then that explains that Colossians passage of, completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. It's not so much that there's something he didn't do, but it continues in us to the extent that we allow him to have us. Now, we're going to take a final break. And, Nate, I'm going to let you know ahead of time that when I come back, I've got a passage that I want you to reflect on as we close up the program. And that's back in Romans 8. We're beginning with verse 15 through 17. It talks about the necessity of suffering, because he has this phrase, provided we suffer with him. And we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Deep in Scripture. This is Marcus Grody. I'm joined tonight with Nate Roberts, and you're hearing us on EWTN, your Global Catholic Radio Network.
The Coming Home Network International is a nonprofit Catholic lay apostolate dedicated to helping Protestant clergy and laity come home to the Catholic Church. It was founded by Marcus Grody, the host of this program, as well as the Journey Home television program on EWTN. If you are on the journey and interested in learning more about the Coming Home Network International, or know someone who's thinking of becoming Catholic, please visit our website, www.chnetwork.org, or contact us at 1-800-664-5110.
Welcome back to Deep in Scripture. This is Marcus Grody, your host. I'm joined tonight by Nate Roberts of the St. Paul Center. And Nate, I'm going to read this passage and then let's talk about it.
Sure. Begins,
Romans 8, let me read beginning with verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and the children then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. What think thee of that, Nate?
Well, I think this is a wonderful, wonderful passage about why we are to suffer. I think that, it says, indeed we share in his sufferings, in Christ's sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And I think that, and also the heirs of God, we are brothers of Christ, in a sense. And that suffering is Christ's invitation to follow him and to share with him in the very inner life of God. And it's through our sufferings, I think, that we can come to see this glory.
When I think about this idea of becoming a brother with Christ and connected with sufferings, sometimes there are families that are, because of their public persona, receive ridicule because of their past or because of what they stand for. And sometimes people in the family who have put up with the ridicule long enough would love to leave the family and change their name so they make a fresh start apart from the family. Well, the family of Christian, the body of Christ, because of what the church stands for, reaps the world, the flesh, and the devil. But when we become a brother of Christ, we are in that family. And if we are his brother, then by grace we should accept that same suffering. Otherwise, we're running away from the family name. Because isn't that exactly what Paul said? For the name of Christ, he would suffer.
Exactly. Back to the Acts chapter.
Yes.
It is taking on that name. In the verse that you read earlier about, the Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. You're taking on the name of Christ as we become part of his body, as we endure the sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I think it's beautiful.
Oh. Well, this...
We we get so wrapped up in ourselves. But I think that, you know, I think you bring up family, and I think that family is such has really been assaulted. And,
yes.
You know, it is in the family that we, even in families that are, you know, really dysfunctional, mm-hmm. there's still somewhat of a support network there. But when the families break down and people are individuals and they're open to the wiles of temptation and are not protected. And I think that, you know, you can apply that to this, you know, in Christ, we are protected by Christ. We are, you know, on a rock, you know, we are his family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say that, that's actually one of the key themes of the St. Paul Center, and I know all of Scott Hahn's writings is emphasizing the continuity of the family in Scripture.
Mm.
I mean, that is so key to understanding Scripture, the family of God, all the way from Adam and all the way through to this family of the church, and the key of that, and it can't be ignored, and it, by being a part of the family, we accept what the name means. And I feel like on the one hand, we may have dumped a lot on our audience tonight dealing with suffering, the necessity. Even that Romans passage says that we have all that provided we suffer. I mean, it's a necessary part of our journey. I don't want to just leave them on that. And I was thinking of a nice passage maybe to have us reflect on at the end. If we go back to the words of Christ in John 15, we have that wonderful analogy of the vine and the branches, and you know, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me. But there's a wonderful statement in which he says in there that as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So in the midst of our suffering, we are empowered to do that if we will trust him.
We kind of overlook in the passages of Romans the sense of sharing his glory, and maybe I focus too much on the sufferings, but I think the glory part needs to kind of be brought out too. You know, that it's not just that we share in his sufferings and that we're meant to suffer and we're supposed to live this life of suffering, but we are supposed to live this glorious life with Christ in peace and joy and happiness, you know, and it may be through the cross and through suffering that we reach this glory and joy. But, you know, I think Paul mentions that, you know, he's willing to do all these things, and he's anticipating the joy and the glory that will result at these sufferings that he's going through now.
Well, that's why the church has us go through some temporary suffering in these weeks of Lent, you know, that they are there to awaken us to the blessings so that we don't...
Of Easter.
Yes, the blessings of Easter. Without
to prepare us.
Mm-hmm, without the sufferings of Lent. And we choose to go through depriving us of certain things because it disciplines our will, so that we can be more open to all he has. And, of course, that passage in Romans is followed very quickly in verse 28 with, we know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. He always holds up that hope that in our following of Christ, Christ, through his grace, empowers us to experience and to handle whatever it is he brings our way.
Suffering is nothing by itself. You know, suffering shared with Christ or embracing Christ's suffering is a beautiful gift.
It's a part of that wonderful journey we have as his children.
Yeah.
Nate, we ran out of time. Boy, I appreciate you joining us on the program. We're going to have you back.
Thanks.
All right.
I love it.
We'll just pick up from this passage to jump onto another one next time. So thanks a lot, Nate.
God bless you.
Same to you. And all of you, thank you for joining us on this episode of Deep in Scripture. God bless you. See you soon.